Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 77 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Kinsey Thompson.
And I'm Chaz Jenkins.
They're the one that teaches them how to open and close the poles, how to work the machines, the rules, the regulations.
Local officials are hoping for big voter turnouts for tomorrow's state primary election.
A Rowan County teacher is encouraging other teachers to get out and vote tomorrow.
The Click It or Ticket campaign has begun in the Commonwealth.
Florida County schools may lose students to a new independent district.
Four men have been arrested after an undercover child predator operation.
In sports, Rowan County baseball and softball teams compete in the district championship tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Taking a look at the weather tonight, mostly clear with a low around 49 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
The Kentucky state primary will take place tomorrow, and local officials are hoping to see a big turnout at the polls. Residents in Rowan County will help decide the Republican and Democratic nominees for governor and lieutenant governor, secretary of state, and the commissioner of agriculture. The GOP nominee for attorney general will also be decided. On the Democratic ticket, auditor of public accounts and state treasurer nominees will be chosen. Rowan County Clerk Elwood Cottle Jr. says more than 70 people trailed to be poll workers in his county.
Harp Enterprises comes in, which runs the elections here in Rowan County, and they send one of their reps down and they go over the election. They're the one that teaches them how to open and close the polls, how to work the machines, the rules, the regulations, what has to be done, and so forth.
The polls will be open tomorrow from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. WMKY will have updates for local races posted to our webpage, WMKY.org.
A local teacher and activist is hoping to encourage educators to get out and vote in the primary. Since one of the largest employers in each county in Kentucky is usually the school district, educators have been very vocal this election cycle about who they are backing. The movement began during the 2018 legislative session when the state pension system was affected by laws which were later thrown out in court. Allison Sloan is a teacher in Rowan County and administrates the online forum Kentucky Teachers in the Know. She says it is hard to tell who teachers are supporting, but a lot more are paying attention.
It depends on what you're reading, where the poll is from and who's created it, what district you're in, what region you're in, if you're in the suburban area or the rural area or the urban area. Everything I see goes back and forth. It's very different. I think it's going to be very interesting Tuesday, and I do believe it's truly up in the air, and it depends on people going out and voting.
Sloan says while there are many different candidates to choose from, most teachers agree that Bevin will not have their vote in the primary.
Kentucky Attorney General Andy Beshear picked up a last-minute endorsement Monday from a national abortion rights group. The Herald later reports that the National Association to Repeal Abortion Laws has endorsed Beshear in a tight race on the eve of Kentucky's primary election. Beshear earned the endorsement over former state auditor Adam Edelin, who has said abortion rights are vital in order to ensure equality for women, and House Minority Floor Leader Rocky Adkins, who voted for several anti-abortion bills this year. The endorsement comes as the Democratic candidates for governor made their final push before Tuesday's election. Beshear has also picked up endorsements from several longtime Democratic politicians, such as former Lieutenant Governor Jerry Abramson, former Lieutenant Governor Crit Llewellyn, and former Lexington Mayor Jim Gray. Edelin has received the endorsement of the Jefferson County Teachers Association and Kentucky Fairness, the state's largest LGBT rights group. Adkins has seen endorsements from former Governor Paul Patton and several labor groups.
The statewide Click It or Ticket campaign kicked off today in the Bluegrass. Anyone found not wearing their seatbelt will be given a $25 fine. Moorhead Police Department Captain Kyle Callahan says the use of seatbelts in the city has decreased in the last few years.
We stayed there for a little while, right around 89% seatbelt usage, but I think it's down to about 70% now. So what Click It or Ticket does, because we're getting ready to start summer, is just to remind people how important it is to wear their seatbelts.
The State Department of Highway Safety helps fund the program. Drivers cited for not wearing a seatbelt will be fined $25, but generally they face additional fines if other infractions are found.
The Kraft Academy for Excellence in Science and Mathematics has been selected to the J. Matthews Public Elites List for 2019, distinguishing it as one of the top-performing high schools in the nation. The Academy is a dual-credit residential high school for academically exceptional Kentucky students. Kraft Academy Director Dr. Carol Christian talks about what life is like for students who are selected to take part in the program.
They would leave their home high school, their junior and senior year, and they come on campus. So at the same time they're here, they're completing their high school graduation requirements for the state of Kentucky, and they're getting 60 to 72 college credit hours, all paid for by state appropriations and our donors, Joe and Kelly Kraft.
27 schools from across the country made the list. Schools on the public elites list are considered schools of exceptional quality, which specifically recruit exceptional students. For more information on the Kraft Academy, visit moreheadstate.edu/Kraft-Academy or call 606-783-2093.
A decision by one Kentucky city to suspend paper recycling won't affect the University of Kentucky or nearby cities and counties. The Lexington Herald Leader reports Rumke says it is trying to find a buyer for recycled paper and urge the government it serves to continue recycling paper. The local governments include Montgomery County, Mount Sterling, Midway, Stamping Ground, Woodford County, and Paris. The private company also has some customers in parts of Scott, Fayette, and Clark counties. Lexington announced last week it was suspending paper recycling due to a lack of buyers for recycled paper goods. The city's recycling center serves 17 counties, cities, and schools, including the University of Kentucky. The university said Friday that it recycles paper on campus and has found a center to take its recycling.
The Floyd County Public Schools District is facing the possibility of losing students to a new independent district. Meanwhile, a state investigation found Betsy Lane Elementary has been cheating on statewide tests. According to the Herald Leader, prior to the Kentucky Department of Education's release of the cheating report last week, Prestonsburg Mayor Les Stapleton said he was contemplating creating an independent school district. Commissioner of Education Wayne Lewis says he doesn't have a problem with an exploratory committee being formed.
My focus at this point is understanding what happened with the testing of students, understanding what's happened with the inappropriate identification of children.
It is unknown when that committee might convene.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention brought its Tips from Former Smokers campaign to Eastern Kentucky. Amanda is a former smoker who does not want her last name released and is with the campaign. Amanda started smoking in fifth grade, and by age 13, she smoked every day. She now works as a tobacco cessation counselor to help pregnant women and new moms quit smoking.
It seemed like everyone smoked. A lot of my family members smoked. A lot of people in the community smoked. A lot of older kids were smoking. My peers were smoking. And, you know, as an adolescent, you just, you know, you want to grow up and you want to feel like an adult. And most of the adults I knew smoked.
According to the state's Cabinet for Health and Family Services, each year more than 8,000 Kentuckians die of tobacco-related illnesses, such as lung disease.
The Appalachian Veteran Project will host Operation Stand Down in late June. The picnic is focused on helping homeless and undeserved veterans get access to needed services. Gregor Dyke is with the Appalachian Veteran Project. He talks about the difficulty that displaced veterans face in Appalachia.
In rural areas, it's very, you know, the homeless veterans pretty much just, you know, kind of are invisible. So it's hard to locate them. And, you know, there are trust factors and every other thing, too. So this event is really to get veterans together and to get them service, and people who may need some medical services and screening and stuff like that.
The event will be held from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on June 22nd at Old Mill Park in West Liberty. To learn more, visit appvetproject.com. We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Ruth Hunt Candy Company in Lexington and Mount Sterling and online at ruthhuntcandy.com. Recognizing the importance of preserving arts and culture, the Ruth Hunt Candy Company proudly supports the Gateway Regional Center for the Arts in Mount Sterling, showcasing a variety of music, theater, visual arts, and dance for the Gateway region. More information on events at the Gateway Regional Center for the Arts is online at grackentucky.com.
A Kentucky state investigator says state prison officials in Elliott County didn't properly investigate allegations that a prison supervisor was sexually harassing guards. The Lexington Herald-Leader reports the Kentucky Personnel Board released a report on the investigations last week. It says a Little Sandy Correctional Complex staffer tasked with investigating the claims wasn't trained for such investigations, didn't interview potential witnesses, and asked limited questions. Sergeant Stephen Harper was accused in 2013 and 2014 of inappropriate conduct and interaction with guards. He denied the allegations, was never disciplined, and left the prison in November. The women sued and settled with the department for $1.5 million in 2017. They settled with Harper privately. The lawsuit prompted the state investigation.
Four men were arrested following an undercover child predator operation in Franklin County. Kentucky Attorney General Andy Beshear's Cyber Crimes Unit conducted the operation late last week. Authorities arrested 23-year-old Jarrett Hoskins of Lexington, 32-year-old Ricky Cornish Jr., and 34-year-old Joseph Levitt, both of Frankfort, and 46-year-old Michael Stewart of Sacramento, Kentucky. The men faced charges related to human trafficking, unlawful use of electronics to induce minors to engage in prohibited or sexual activities. Beshear called Operation Shielded Child a success. Several other organizations, including the Frankfort Police Department, Franklin County Sheriff, Franklin County Jail, Lexington Police Department, and Louisville Metro Police Department, helped make the arrest and carry out the operation.
Two Kentucky men have been sentenced to prison in separate cases involving stealing money from older relatives and spending it on themselves. U.S. Attorney Robert Duncan says in a news release that Paul Anthony Long II was sentenced in federal court in Lexington to 3 years and 6 months, and John Jeremy O'Hara was sentenced to 2 years. The statement says both Lexington residents abused their powers of attorney over a relative's finances and pleaded guilty to fraud charges. According to their plea agreements, Long took more than $600,000 from his grandfather, while O'Hara took more than $330,000 from his mother.
A man has been arrested following a robbery at a Lexington gas station. According to LEX 18, the crime occurred around 4:15 p.m. Sunday at the Speedway on Winchester Road. Police say the man walked into the store, left a note, and got away with some property. Samuel Blessing was arrested around 2 hours later in connection to the crime and is facing charges of second-degree robbery and drug paraphernalia.
Lexington police have arrested a former Scott County deputy on shoplifting charges. WKYT reports 42-year-old Silas Whitehead was arrested Monday and charged with shoplifting $500 or more, but under $10,000. Scott County Sheriff's Office confirms Whitehead served as a deputy from 2017 until May 6, 2019. Deputies didn't say why Whitehead was no longer working for the sheriff's office, but say they plan to release additional information on Whitehead's arrest.
Police are searching for the suspect accused of shooting a man multiple times in Covington. It happened around 11 p.m. Sunday in the City Heights area. Officials tell WLWT as they responded to the scene, a car was driving away but stopped. The victim inside the car had been shot multiple times, police said. He was rushed to the hospital and is expected to survive. Police spent some time checking out the car and crime scene near the Hilltop Market. There is no information on a suspect at this time.
Taking a look at the weather tonight, mostly clear with a low around 49 degrees. Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 72 degrees. On Tuesday night, mostly clear with a low around 55. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 86. On Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 64. On Thursday, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m., mostly sunny with a high near 88. On Thursday night, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms before 9 p.m., partly cloudy with a low around 65. Taking a look at the listening area temperatures, in Flemingsburg, 74 degrees, Maysville, 74 degrees, in Ashland and Grayson, 80 degrees, in Mount Sterling, 75 degrees, Lexington, 76 degrees, in Inez, 80 degrees, and in Moorhead, it's currently 77 degrees.
On our feature segment today, the city of Moorhead and Round County are receiving significant ongoing upgrades to the sewer systems. WMKY's Cody Robinson has the story.
The Moorhead Utility Plant Board has had plans for sewer rehabilitation and expansion since last year's rate increase, and now those projects are finally in the works. Holly McGrath-Roses is the director of the Utility Plant Board. She says one of her primary focus points is fixing the sewage system around the MMRC Industrial Park and down Highway 801.
Number one, that whole area down there addresses the biggest part of our sewer overflows, which is where the raw sewage will come up in people's yards, out of people's houses, and things like that.
The rapid growth of the area is requiring the board to undergo a sewer expansion project, which McGrath-Rosas says is necessary to keep up with the population. The current system was put in place prior to the development of Dogwood Estates and Eagle Trace, which keeps the sewage treatment facility constantly at full capacity.
The way we were poised prior to this project getting moving, we couldn't handle any growth out there. We were in worse shape sewer-wise than we were water-wise.
The construction portion of the project should be completed within the next 2 years.
Last year, we funded the $200,000 for the engineering portion of it. And this past February, we got funded $3,650,000 from KIA. And we're going to go out for construction bids starting in June, July of this year. And it should be a year, year and a half project to get all that up and going.
McGrath-Rosas says the expansion will be a big relief to economic development members who are trying to bring more people and industries into the community.
That should allow us to have the capability to service new growth and new users that may come in to the area all along that corridor.
As far as routine maintenance on existing things like gravity sewers and doing manhole rehabs goes, McGrath-Rosas says that will always be an ongoing process.
There really isn't a timeline on that because you're going to constantly have to do that and have to revisit that. And they haven't put any money towards it in a very, very, very long time.
The Moorhead Utility Plant Board is already planning on expanding lines from the Derrickson Veterinary Office on Highway 32 all the way through Walmart into town.
That's going to have to be upsized, and that's going to be about a $1.5 million project plus engineering. So that's on our 3 to 4 year plan.
McGrath-Rosas says when designing and planning starts, it takes about a year to see if there is eligibility for grant and loan funds, an additional year of engineering afterwards.
It's a very long process. It's usually a 3 to 4 year process when you get a idea in your head to actually fulfilling it with when construction begins.
She says these projects are massive and necessary for the plant board. Unlike last year, a simple rate increase would not provide sufficient funding for expansions of this scale.
If I had spread that over 5 years like I'm doing with the water plant, it would take me another 5 years to do something. Because 1.3 divided by 5 is the revenue that I would have. It wouldn't even fund my engineering to start a project. So that's why it was such a significant need to get it done right now, because we have to start addressing these issues.
The Moorhead Utility Plant Board can be reached at 606-783-1340. Reporting for WMKY, I'm Cody Robinson.
It's 447 and 77 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Kenzie Thompson, here with Chaz Jenkins, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this Monday afternoon. Leanne Akers has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Moorhead State University, offering a weekly summer camp program for children ages 5 through 12. Open to the community May 20th through August 2nd, an inclusive, fun, and active camp program run by certified counselors. Space is limited. More information by calling Zach Martin at 783-5284 or online at moorheadstate.edu/recreation.
District tournament action continues across the 16th region tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Leanne Akers. The Rowan County baseball team is fighting for their sixth district championship in a row tonight in Bath County. The 34-3 Vikings face off for the third time this season with the 20-16 Bath County Lions. Rowan took both regular season wins this season, and they're coming off a big win in the first round of the 61st district tournament over Menifee. Head coach Scott Collins says he knows what to expect from tonight's matchup.
Well, it'll be a matchup just like it was last time we played them. With we'll have AJ on the mound. They'll have Nathan Davis on the mound for them. And it was a 1-0 game that we pulled away. Pulled it out. So I expect the same thing. I expect another battle tonight.
Game time tonight at the Bath County Sports Complex is set for 7 p.m. The Rowan County softball team is vying for the 61st district title tonight in Moorhead. The Vikings beat Menifee in three innings in the first round of the tournament on Saturday, 16-1. Head coach Larry Sloan says tonight his team will focus on the task at hand.
You got to go out and you got to take care of business, and you got to do the things that you know that you have done well all year, and focus on the game that we're playing, not getting ahead or thinking about what's happened behind. You just play this game, and hopefully we can have a great ball game.
The Vikings meet Bath County tonight at Sloan Stadium. First pitch is set for 6 p.m. 61st District softball action wraps up tonight, but other districts in the 16th region are just getting started. East Carter hosts the 62nd District Tournament. The Lady Raiders face Morgan County at 5:30, then West Carter and Elliott County face off at 7. Greenup County hosts 63rd District play. Raceland and Russell face off at 5:30, and Lewis County meets the host school at 7:30. And in the 64th District, hosting Boyd County will face off with Fairview at 5:30. The winner will face Ashland Blazer tomorrow in the championship game. Taking a look at 16th Regional Baseball action tonight, East and West Carter are facing off in the championship game of the 62nd District. Game time in Olive Hill is set for 6 p.m. The 63rd District Tournament begins in Greenup County. Lewis and Russell meet at 5:30, and Raceland meets Greenup at 7:30. And finally, Ashland Blazer hosts 64th District action tonight. Boyd meets Rose Hill Christian at 5:30, and the Tomcats meet Fairview at 7. We'll have scores from all of tonight's games tomorrow on Morning Edition. The Moorhead State University baseball team is preparing to make their postseason appearance this week. After sweeping Southeast Missouri during their final series of the regular season, the Eagles now prepare to face in-state rival Eastern Kentucky University at the OVC tournament. MSU enters the tournament at number 3. Head coach Mike McGuire says it's really anybody's tournament, but there is something he feels sets his guys apart from the rest.
I think the biggest difference between us and some other teams in the league is the amount of the depth we have on the mound, the quality of the arms we have, and you know, I think that's one of those things that really shows out as you get later into a tournament. And, you know, it's going to come down to, you know, us still being there, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But if that happens, I don't think that most people in the league can run the quality of arms out that we do.
The OVC tournament gets underway Wednesday in Marion, Illinois. First pitch is set for 1:30 p.m. Student athletes at Moorhead State University made some big achievements off the field this year. WMKY's Greg Jenkins has the story.
With the close of the 2019 spring semester, 45 MSU student athletes achieved perfect grades during the semester, while 13 of the Eagles' 16 programs earned a team grade point average of 3.0 or better. The rifle team garnered the department's highest team GPA at 3.76, while the combined total of 3.64 for volleyball and beach volleyball came in second. The department's overall GPA was a solid 3.11. Other programs earning at least a 3.0 team GPA were baseball, men's cross country, men's track and field, men's golf, women's cross country, women's indoor track and field, women's outdoor track and field, women's golf, softball, and soccer. Beach volleyball had the most athletes with a perfect 4.0 GPA. Football, soccer, and volleyball had 7 each. Softball had 6. Women's cross country, track and field, and rifle had 5 each. Men's cross country, track and field, and golf had 2 students each, while baseball, women's basketball, and women's golf had 1 each. For WMKY Sports, I'm Greg Jenkins.
And finally, in sports this afternoon, the Cincinnati Reds have the day off after wrapping up their series with the Dodgers yesterday. The Reds ended up dropping the series and will play 2 games with the Brewers starting tomorrow. Manager David Bell says even though the team dropped the final game of their series, he continues to see improvement as the season moves forward.
It's exciting. You know, I think we would have loved to have won the game today. Overall, good homestand. Not satisfied, but this is what it's all about. You know, we have an opportunity to go on the road and play Milwaukee and Chicago and play 2 good teams, and we're excited about it. That's what you look forward to.
First pitch with the Brewers tomorrow is at 7:40 p.m. And that's going to do it for sports for WMKY. I'm Leanne Akers.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball will host the Eagle Day Camp June 10th through 13th from 9 a.m. to noon in MSU's Johnson Arena, open to boys and girls in kindergarten through 8th grade. More information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks fell as the intensifying fallout from a U.S. crackdown on Chinese firm Huawei pressured the technology sector in particular, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 84.10 at 25,679.90. The S&P 500 was down 19.30 at 2840.23, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 113.91 at 7702.38. Alphabet's Google subsidiary has suspended business with Huawei that involves transferring hardware, software, and other technical services. The U.S. search giant's decision follows President Trump's administration adding Huawei to a list that required U.S. companies get a license to do business with the Chinese company. And it was also reported that companies like Intel, Qualcomm, and Broadcom will not supply Huawei until further notice. In the wake of the Huawei news, chipmaker stocks were under pressure all day, with NVIDIA, Advanced Micro Devices, and Lam Research all trading down more than 3%. Shares of Micron Technology fell 4.6%, and Qualcomm was down over 6%. Telecom supplier Lumentum Holdings fell more than 4% after cutting its quarterly guidance for earnings. Apple added to the market's decline, sliding more than 3% after an analyst cut his price target on the tech giant. The analyst cited worries over the ongoing trade war for the target cut. Keysight Technologies was down almost 9% after an analyst downgraded the stock to neutral. And in the commodities markets, oil was up 0.625% on $63.15 a barrel. Gold was up 0.2% at $1,277.70 an ounce. In Europe, stocks actually were even weaker than U.S. stocks today, with the Stock 600 index down just over 1%. In Asia, most markets were down, with the Shanghai Composite down 0.4% and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 0.6%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were United Health Group and Verizon, and the worst performers were Apple and Intel. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Northrop Grumman and Darden Restaurants, and the worst performers were Keysight Technologies and Western Digital. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Kroger down 18 cents at $24.04, Marathon Petroleum up 16 cents at $52.11, CSX down 34 cents at $78.06, PPL Energy down 11 cents at $29.68, and UPS was down 91 cents to finish at $98.49. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, providing a curbside recycling service to residents of Moorhead and Rowan County. Residential pickup available every Sunday. Pre-sorting the recycled materials is not required. Accepting number one and two plastic, cardboard, paper, electronics, metal, and grocery bags. Materials may be placed in any container, placed at curbside for pickup and visible from street. More information by calling 784-1250.
Taking a final look at the weather tonight, mostly clear with a low around 49 degrees. Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 72 degrees. Tuesday night, mostly clear with a low around 55. On Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 86. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 64. On Thursday, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m., mostly sunny with a high near 88. And Thursday night, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms before 9 p.m., partly cloudy with a low around 65. Taking a final look at the listening area temperatures in Flemingsburg and Maysville, 74 degrees, Ashland, Grayson, and Inez, 80 degrees, in Mount Sterling, 75 degrees, Lexington, 76 degrees, and in Moorhead, 77 degrees.
That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today, we had help from MSPR staff Leanne Akers, Joe Lewis, Haley Stidham, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. Hilliard Lyons is Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's very own Cody Robinson. This is Moorhead State Public Radio. WMKY, Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Chaz Jenkins and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Kinsey Thompson for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.